Today's reading comes from Corinthians 1, 11, verses 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also, after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's read.
You know, we do this every year. Some of you have done this 50 times or more. To celebrate Holy Week, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter. As I said in my prayer, we cannot get to Easter until we go to Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. As much as it may pain us to think about what Jesus had to go through, that's the only way that you and I would have the gift of salvation. One third of all the events that we know about Jesus' life occurred during this week. Remind us of the great significance of these events. Disciples had gathered in a home that was furnished on the second floor. As they gather, they participate in what is called a Seder meal. I know years ago, a lady who was a member of the church would get in touch with a Jewish rabbi, and a Seder meal would take place here at this church. I've never been to one myself. I'd be interested to find out if any of you have ever done that. But the Passover festival had been done for centuries before Jesus came on the scene. To commemorate that time when Jews were in bondage in Egypt, they'd been in slaves for 430 years. Moses warned Pharaoh to let his people go, but Pharaoh, as you know the story, hardened his heart and refused to do so. So God sent a death over the land of Egypt. Angel of death passed over the homes of the Jews, all of those that had slain a lamb, and put the blood above the post and down to the side. The meal was a symbolic one, reminding the Jews of the suffering that their forefathers and the powers of God to deliver them. The foods that were eaten were symbols to remind the Jews of their captivity in Egypt. Applesauce was eaten to remind them of brick and mortars, and then as it became harder and harder as the Pharaoh took things from them. The bitter herbs were eaten to remind them of the bitterness of their captivity. It was at the conclusion of that meal that Jesus himself used these symbols. He took a loaf and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took a cup with wine. He drank from it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." So thus was born the sacrament. Presbyterian Church, we only have two sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And I use a picture on this one. I'll go to that for a second. I've been using it for a long time, and it's one of the most famous renditions of the Lord's Supper. Is this exactly how they sat at the table that night? We don't really know, but this was Leonardo da Vinci, what he envisioned in his mind, and this is what he painted. But it, to me, is a beautiful, beautiful painting. Disciples look at one another, as you can see, in shock. Some leaning in, some leaning out, except Judas, who refuses to look Jesus in the eyes because he is feeling guilty. Now, I wonder, as we look around those disciples at that table, if we can see any part of ourselves within it. But I think they represent what is good and bad in humanity, what is good and bad in you and in myself. I want to talk a little bit about the disciples tonight. I think sometimes we can see ourselves in Matthew. Here was a man who had a brilliant mind. And of course, we get the Gospel of Matthew from him. He became a tax collector, and which was despised by the Jews because he was doing it for the Roman Empire. And you didn't want somebody coming in taking your money and then taking more off the top, really stealing from you and helping the Roman occupation of your land. His gold and silver were really his gods. But when Matthew came to Jesus, he came all the way. He didn't say, I'm going to come to Jesus a little bit and I'll kind of hang around the fringes of the church or I'll hang around Jesus a little bit. He was in all the way. So Matthew reminds us that the talents that were given, whatever they are, even though he had been using it for a bad, now he was using what he knew for good. Maybe we see ourselves in James and John. They remind us of the pride and ego that all of us have at times. It was their mother who went to Jesus to do the bidding for them. She admonished the master, when you come into your kingdom, would you place my sons one at your right and one at your left? Even on this occasion, the last night together, disciples are arguing among themselves which one is the greatest and who deserves a seat of honor at the table. James and John remind us that if we follow Jesus, we need to surrender our ego to him. Maybe we can see a part of ourselves in Thomas. You know, I think he's maligned, second only to Judas, because he wanted to see existence of the proof. But really, who doesn't want to see proof? We all want to see it. We all want to feel it. Thomas reminds us that resurrection is not something that we can always neatly wrap our minds around. To follow the Lord and Master, we must be echoed his words. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. There was Simon the Zealot. He was the one who hated with a passion. He wanted to have an uprising, and he wanted to throw the occupation of Rome out. And I think he would have been willing to commit murder to do so. Simon reminded us, we're to follow the Master. We must look the total message, even the ones that say, and this is hard for all of us to do, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. There's Andrew. It was Andrew who brought Peter to the Lord. Yet he lives under the shadow of this man. He never makes it into the inner circle, which was Peter, James, and John. Even though he led them, he was still, even though one of the 12, he wasn't in the inner circle. Andrew reminds us that we're to follow the Master. We cannot insist on being in the limelight. A lot of people, that's where they would like to be. But working behind the scenes is often the best place to be, maybe even the most important place to be. So we have to have humility, and we have to have a sense of unity. There was Judas. I've often wondered really what was going through Judas's mind. Did he not love his Lord and wanted to hurt him? A lot of scholars think that he really loved Jesus, but he thought he would force Jesus' hand because Jesus was not moving fast enough for him, for his comfort level, so he betrays him. Now, he felt so bad about it, he went out and hung himself. Judas, therefore, contrived that situation. Judas must remind us that if we're to follow the Master, we must remember that our ways and our schedule are not always God's schedule. God may move faster. God may move a lot slower than we want to move. We see the vision of the immediate. God sees all of eternity. He sees from the beginning until the end. We really only see what we've been through. Maybe try to see a little bit to where we're going. There's Simon Peter. We always talk about how impetuous he was, getting himself into trouble. Said, Lord, I will not deny you. Everybody else will deny you, but I will not. And that very night, he denied his Lord and Savior three times. As we get ready to participate in this ancient sacrament of the church, we must confess before God that we're all his disciples, with all the frailties, all the sinfulness that we have as human beings. We're also like the disciples, I believe, in our sincere desire to follow Him. That's why you're here tonight. That's why you're a part of a local church. So my prayer is that through the sacrament this evening, that the power of God may reinstill in each and every one of us a sense of mission and remind us who we are, where we're going, and who we serve. We are disciples of Christ. May God bless you. Amen. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests and the elders and scribes and the whole council held a consultation, and they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate wondered. Now as a feast he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison whom had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he was wont to do for them. And he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" And he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do that the man whom you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the Praetorium, and they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and plaiting a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck his head with a reed and spat upon him, and they knelt down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. And they led him away out to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mingled with myrrh, and he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. An inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests mocked him to one another with the scribes, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, when the darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, and the ninth hour Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And one ran and filling a sponge full of vinegar, put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that he had breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this was the Son of God."